Golf Smarter Premium, number 503, published on August 25, 2015. The Big Secret of Park City, Utah. Summer! With Bobby Trunzo of Park Meadows Country Club.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Bobby.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
I know how busy your time is, and I really appreciate you making some time to talk to me today.
No problem. Happy to do it.
I'm having a wonderful time here in Park City. It's the first time I've ever been here. I've been here almost a week. We leave tomorrow, actually. And I am just blown away. First of all, the beauty is remarkable. And the secret that I found is that it's summertime is a great time to be here. This is a winter destination.
Yeah, it's the best. The summer is kind of the best kept secret about Park City. That's what we've found for sure.
But how long is the golf season here?
This past year, we opened up in the middle of March, which is the earliest opening in Park Meadows Country Club history. Generally speaking, it's from May to mid-October. Like I said, this year we opened up a little bit earlier, and we'll play golf until the weather dictates that we close.
And basically that means it's snowing.
Correct.
Is there a lot of golf opportunities here in Park City?
There are a few private clubs here. You know, you have Glenwild, Victory Ranch, Promontory, Touhey, but none are quite centralized in town like Park Meadows is. And it's got a very active membership, very social membership. It's very easy for the members to find a game, and it's got a great membership.
Yeah. Give me a little history about Park Meadows.
Park Meadows, it opened in 1983. When it first opened, it was a public golf course. It used to host the Franklin Templeton Shootout, which was a senior PGA event, and the likes of Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino used to walk these grounds, which is pretty cool. It became private over 10 years ago, just over 10 years ago, and I started here 5 years ago, so I haven't seen the senior tour be around since I've been here, but I've heard great things about when it was here.
Mm. And who is the architect of this course?
This is a Jack Nicklaus design.
It is?
Yeah, it's actually a Jack Nicklaus signature design, meaning it's one of his first few clubs that he did, so it's very traditional layout. Park style, very player friendly. There's just over 100 bunkers. So it's not like the new traditional Jack Nicklaus course that's really, it can be a little more difficult, tricked out a little bit with, you know, elevation change and some crazy bunkering. It's a very playable golf course.
Was there a major change in, I don't know if you're a student of Jack Nicklaus' design, but was there a major change in his development of designing golf courses?
Definitely. Like I said, his signature golf courses were the first 100 to 200 that he did definitely have more of a traditional layout and feel to them as time has dictated, as the golf, you know, as golf has become more popular. I've worked at several Nicklaus courses, including Desert Mountain in Scottsdale, which has six Jack Nicklaus golf courses, all of which are very different desert golf courses, but much more difficult than, you know, Park Meadows is.
Interesting. What do you see as a big difference between desert versus here up in the highlands? We're up at over 7,000 feet, right?
Correct. Yeah. Obviously, the ball flies farther, which is nice.
I'll get to that, but I meant, like, what's the difference in his design being down in the desert versus his design up here?
I think he's a great architect. I think he takes the lay of the land and doesn't try to – he lets the lay of the land dictate what he designs. Park Meadows being the location that it is, pretty local club, in town club, with the mountains surrounding as views. He just kept it fairly simple as far as the design, with the thought process of being player friendly and letting the views be more of the highlight versus, you know, elevation change and bunkering and raised greens and things like that. So
when we go, if we're traveling around and we're going to a course that we've not played before and it says that it's a Jack Nicklaus design, what are the things that we know that we're going to be getting involved with as far as playability, bunkering, you know, the deception that he creates in par threes, you know, by putting on...
Jack Nicklaus is known for designing golf course. Jack Nicklaus was a left to right player. He was a fader of the golf ball. Generally, his designs follow suit.
Interesting.
As time has come, you know, as we've gotten into the this day and age, he's become, you know, changing that up a little bit. But as you'll see today, when you play Park Meadows, is just pretty straightforward, not too tricked out, and very well manicured.
Is there a lot of back to Park City Golf? You talked about the private clubs that are here. Is there a lot of public courses to play when you're here as well? Because obviously the listeners can't.
Sure.
When they come to Park City, they can't give you a call and say, "Hey, I heard you on the podcast. Can I play golf there?"
Right.
Sorry,
right.
No, you can't.
Right. There is a Park City Municipal course. That's just what it's called, Park City Municipal. Recent club that's been added to the public courses in Park City is the Canyons Golf Course. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but heard good things. But in the surrounding area, the public golf in Utah is very strong. Some really good quality courses in the surrounding area. But in Park City proper, just the two, Park City and Canyons.
Have you played the Muni?
I have, quite a bit. It's fun. You know, it's a little more crowded, and obviously being one of the only public courses, there's a lot of demand for that with the tourism in Park City, but it's a good golf course. I like it.
I played nine holes. Like what I've been doing since I've been here, I would get up early in the morning and go to the driving range and hit 100 balls or something because I'm working on some new swing things. So I
sure.
wanted to just, it was a great opportunity to do this daily, which I don't get to do, is go to the driving range daily.
Right.
Right. And I ended up playing nine holes just before rain hit a couple days ago. And I was kind of blown away on two things. First of all, I played nine holes, rented a cart, hit a bucket of balls, and it cost me less than $25. That was amazing.
Right.
But it really was one of the prettier munis I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's very scenic. And again, that's just Park City. I mean, it's hard to go anywhere in Park City and not notice the surroundings, the mountains, how green it is. You can just get in your car and drive anywhere in Park City, and you're going to see you know, some great scenery, and, you know, obviously a golf course is no better place than being on a golf course to do that.
Yeah, yeah. But it definitely is the kind of course there that you needed some local knowledge. I was lucky there. I was playing with these guys that knew the course, and a couple times they forgot to tell me there was water there, so I lost my ball.
Sure, yeah.
But I mean, those are my big mistakes, is like not knowing there was water there, and I hit into
the
water.
Yeah, it's got some tricky things to it if you haven't played it too much.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Park Meadows, I mean, it's right in front of you. There's really no trickery to it. What you see is what you get, pretty much.
And the elevation here. So, and you're even higher here at Park Meadows.
Correct.
Than in Park City. How much higher are you?
We are about 1,000 feet higher. So we're 7,000 feet here.
Wow.
And that does a lot to your golf ball.
You know, let's talk about that. Does it really?
It's a good club and a half different. You know, for example, I came from Scottsdale, Arizona, and there's a big difference here. You know,
but it's dry heat.
Sure. Yeah. Right. It's still 110. But 7,000 feet, the climate's great. There's generally a cool breeze here. You know, it's kind of traditionally a little breezy in Park City, I found. But 7,000 feet, you know, your pitching wedge, if you hit a pitching wedge, for example, at sea level, you know, 130 yards or 120 yards up here, it's, you know, 10 to 15 yards farther up here. No question about it.
Okay. So
you're
going to get a lot
more. It takes a little adjusting in your golf game, you know, if you live here, getting used to hitting your clubs farther than if you live somewhere else in the wintertime, for example. Yeah.
Yeah. And what about the winds? How much impact do the winds come into play here?
Yeah, I mean, it's generally. As I said, it's generally, you know, fairly breezy. Park Meadows is kind of an open air meadow golf course. There's really nothing surrounding it that can block the wind. So the wind can pick up, and that's the defense of Park Meadows. It can play as easy as you want it to, depending on the tee you play. But if you get out there, you know, in a 10-20 mile an hour wind, it changes the dynamic of the golf course completely. And just makes it tougher like it would anywhere, but it goes from being kind of a fun, fair, fairly playable and, you know, not overly challenging test to a very difficult golf course in the wind.
One of the things on the website that kind of jumped out at me is talked about it being a Scottish Lynx at 7,000 feet.
Correct, yeah. Like I said, it's pretty flat with the exception of the 11th and 12th hole. There's some elevation there, but it does have a very lynxy feel. most every green out here gives you the option to run the ball up onto the green versus fly it to the pin. Mm-hmm. There's some unique bunkering, but every green gives you the opportunity to run the ball up, which is traditional links style.
Yeah, but if you fly it to the green, is it going to hit and then just roll off? I mean,
it depends. The greens here this year have been, in my 5 years, they're the best they've ever been. They're consistently running on the stip main here anywhere from 11 to 13, which is, you know, tour average is 12.5.
Yeah, that's pretty fast.
Which, you know, again, they're fairly flat with the exception of a few greens, so they're very fair. But they can be firm, which is for this membership, which is a little bit older of a membership. They need to be able to run the ball in. They're not hitting it as high, which is being a links course, it plays right into that.
And does that also mean by being a links course that you've rarely going to have the ball level with your feet?
No,
you have a lot of uphill and downhill lies.
There's very little elevation change here, but it does have kind of a rolling feel to it. More times than not, though, you have a nice, fairly flat lie. Very rarely will you find yourself on a severe downhill, uphill lie, unless you've hit it offline into the rough, which has some bunkering and some movement to it.
I come from Northern California, where we're having a huge water issue right
sure.
now. We are still in the western U.S. What's happening here as far as your water shortage and how you're dealing with it?
We've been fortunate here in Park City. You know, obviously, we have a perfect climate for growing grass, and this past May was the wettest. You know, we had a lot of rain in May. It was the wettest May in the history of Park City.
Oh, wow.
Which really teed us up this summer for great golf conditions. And we've had our summer storms, our typical summer storms in June and July. And the golf course has never been in better shape. Our superintendent, John Haynes, does, you know, some great things to maintain this facility. And, you know, the water, if you were to step out and go look at the golf course, you'd think it couldn't be any greener.
Wow. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get out there. Recently, though, if I understand correctly, Park Meadows Country Club have new management.
Correct.
Yeah,
we have recently partnered and are now being managed by Stein Erickson Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great partnership. It's been going on for the past few months here, and so far so good. It's been a real asset to partner up with such a high quality management company, the only five star hotel management company in Utah, and we're really enjoying it. The members are seeing a lot of upgrades and quality, you know, upgrades in service, upgrade in food and beverage, and it's just been a great situation for the members and the staff so far.
Oh, that's great. And Stein Erickson is not the same property. The lodge is
correct. It's off site. It's up. Up in near Deer Valley Ski Resort, but you know, it's like I said, you know, Park Meadows Country Club is a centralized club versus some of the Park City clubs that are out on the outskirts of town. So it's a 10-minute drive at most from here.
And Stein Erickson Lodge, again, it's completely associated with winter sports and winter activities.
Correct. Well now they have a golf course to partner up with, so it's twofold for them. Again, when I first moved here 5 years ago, it was clear to me that people were here and moving to Park City for the snow and what, you know, people call the best snow, the best powder in the United States.
The greatest snow on earth.
Greatest snow on earth.
I love the license plate. Yeah.
But as I've quickly learned, even just myself, that the summers are, you know, some very active mountain biking, hiking, running, fishing, and obviously the golf is second to none. And for Stein Erickson to be able to offer, you know, step out of the hotel and you're on the ski resort, you're on the ski slopes at Deer Valley, or if you're here in the summer, drive down the hill 5 to 10 minutes and you're playing golf at Park Meadows.
Mm.
It's a great partnership.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, we're excited.
Very excited. And you're still here.
I'm still here.
So that's good. They kept
yep.
you.
Yep.
Congratulations. Give me a little bit about your history. You talked about Arizona a bit, but how did you get to here? What was your path? I'm fascinated.
My wife and I, my wife does the buying and the merchandising in the golf shop here.
That's convenient.
We've been here together with our 7-year-old daughter for 5 years. We moved here just prior to being in Park City and Park Meadows Country Club. We were at the Rim Golf Club in Payson, Arizona as the director of golf.
Okay.
which is the Rim Club in Payson, is about an hour and a half northeast of Phoenix. And we spent 3 years there until this job came open, and we couldn't turn it down. Prior to being at the Rim Club, I spent, you know, multiple years at the Estancia Club in Scottsdale, which is a top 100 private club. Spent 3 years at Desert Mountain, and also 3 years at Forest Highlands in Flagstaff, Arizona. So my career path has been to be a head professional at a top private club, obviously in a good geographical area that's good for family and raising a family and enjoying life, you know, outside of being a golf pro, and Park City and Park Meadows have offered that to a T.
Mm. Well, yeah, there's so much golf all year round in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Phoenix, and the whole in Flagstaff. Well, Flagstaff doesn't get year-round golf.
No, Flagstaff is like Park City. They ski and it snows there, but you know, it's a two-hour drive up the hill from Scottsdale, so
right.
Pretty popular place for Phoenix Scottsdale residents.
Right. Yeah. And how's quality of life for you now with a little kid and
sure.
You know, daughter? And how does quality of life Park City work for you? You're in Utah, buddy.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an adjustment coming to Utah. We had never been here, other than maybe flying through Salt Lake. But when I first came to Park City, you know, I had this impression that I was going to fly into Salt Lake, and it was going to be this big trek through this major canyon, and it's going to be a long way to go. It turns out it's 25-30 minutes from door-to-door airport to Park City, and it's really, really seamless. Quality of life in Park City is second to none. I mean, it's a very healthy, active community. There's a lot of kids.
Young families.
It's been great for us.
That's great.
So quality of life couldn't be better. We really love it here.
I was so surprised how quickly we got to Park City when we left the Salt Lake airport.
Right.
I was like, wait, I thought I was going to be driving for like an hour, hour and a half.
It's yeah,
like,
that's exactly what I thought too. It's kind of boom, boom. You just kind of, you get on the freeway
easy.
And you're up the canyon. You know, obviously in the wintertime, depending on the weather, but they do a great job of maintaining the roads. I haven't had a problem getting around Park City at all.
Well, so what do you do as a golf professional here in the off season when it's snowing?
Well, obviously when it gets to November, December and the holiday season, being the head professional at Park Meadows affords me to spend some time and travel with family. But at the same time, you know, we keep the golf shop open a few days a week throughout the winter. We have an indoor golf simulator, indoor full swing. It's called Full Swing Golf. A really advanced, high-tech indoor simulator that our members take lessons and utilize. If the snow's good, you don't see people around who are too much using it. But if the snow's not too good for some reason on a particular day, we usually fill that up. People will come hit some balls or take a lesson, and just so that they're keeping their golf games fresh. And I do the same with mine.
Okay. How's your game these days?
It's really good. Really good. I was fortunate enough a week ago to have my fourth hole in one.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
It was here at Park Meadows on hole number four. So it just kind of came out of nowhere. But
they always do, don't they?
They do. They do. It was exciting, though. I was playing with some of my staff and
oh, you get to do it in front of your staff.
Yeah, so.
See, that's the key. You don't want to be alone when you get your hole in one, and you don't want to do it on an elevated tee because then you don't know when
it. Right. No, we
you
were
to be able
this
to
happened
it.
On hole number four. It's a pretty difficult 210-yard par three, and we all saw it kind of hit the middle of the green and just kind of rolled in like a putt, and we saw it from start to finish.
Fourth hole in one. I mean, I've talked to a lot of instructors who've been playing for their whole lives and still have yet to get one.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of luck involved, and the last two I had were in Arizona at my last club, and my first one when I was 15 years old in Davis, California, playing with my dad, and you know, it's exciting.
That's even better.
Exciting.
Do it in front of your dad.
Yep. So, yep, number four.
Okay, so what's the secret?
The secret is to stop trying to make hole-in-ones and just play golf and, you know, try to put your ball in the right place. And if you're thinking about hitting a hole in one all the time, it's never going to happen. So, you know, these tour players, you know, they're trying to make a score, and you're just trying to do the best you can on any given hole. And if you hit a good shot and it happens, the break goes your way. It's just there's definitely some luck involved. It's a pretty small cup to hit that little ball into.
I interviewed an instructor who wrote a book, and one of his chapters was how to get a hole in one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, exactly, that was my reaction to it.
Well, what did he say to you?
And I'm like, wait a minute, you really wrote a chapter on how to get a hole? He goes, oh, absolutely. I said, well, how can you honestly tell people? He goes, just focus on the bottom of the cup. Just you know, it's about confidence, as all golf is.
Sure.
Just focus on the bottom of the cup, and you can do it. I'm like, yeah, right, sure. 3 days later, after we published the show, I got an email from a listener going, I listened to the show. I went out. I got my first hole in
nice.
One. It's like, yeah, I got one email.
Wish it was that easy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I wanted to, obviously, number four is going to be your favorite hole here. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about some of the holes, pick some of the favorite holes here. But I needed to ask you about, now that the Stein Erickson management team has taken over here, has that impacted you in a positive way as far as, you know, you always get nervous when new management comes in, budgets are going to start getting slashed and things are going to get cut. And, you know, maybe sometimes you get lucky and you can get some new equipment going. And
sure.
How's that helped you?
You know, golf course wise, as far as the actual maintaining the golf course is in fantastic shape, like I said. So John
Number
Haynes,
one budget line.
John Haynes, our superintendent, as long as he keeps doing what he's doing, you know, I can only see Stein Erickson affording him every opportunity to provide him the resources to keep doing, you know, what he needs, whether it be staff or a new mower, something like that. For me, in the golf shop, same thing. Sure, there was some uncertainty about coming into a new management group. There always is, I think, in any merger. But
yeah,
this, like I said before, it's been seamless. It's been nothing but positives for both the staff and the membership. And they're just elevating the service and the quality of the food and all aspects of the club, from the golf course to the dining to the golf shop.
And this is a pretty high-end club. I mean, this is not.
It is. It's a private club that there's a diverse membership with a lot of our members live and have second homes in Arizona or Vegas, California, even some in New York, and they travel out here. But we also have people that live here and work 5 days a week in Salt Lake, and they live in Park City, or they live in Salt Lake and they drive up the hill to play golf.
Wow.
So.
Wow. All right. Let's talk about this golf course for a couple minutes that we have left. I want to get some playing advice from you.
Sure.
Since I'm going to go out
sure.
there. We talked about how, you know, you're going to get more yardage than I'm used to playing at sea level. Let's pick your favorite. I'll throw you the softball. It's your favorite par three.
Well, favorite par three today is hole number four, because it just had a hole in one there. It's a long, you know, 210 yard par four, with the water on the left, and generally it's kind of one of the more exposed holes on the golf course. There's usually some wind kind of coming through there, but all the par threes here are fantastic. Between hole four, seven is a good par three. But honestly, number 12 is the most scenic spot on the golf course. It's a downhill par three. It's about, depending on which tee you're playing, it can be 150 to 210 yards. And it's a great view of Park City Mountain Resort.
These distances you're giving me are from the back tees, I'm sure.
The 210 is
good,
from the back
tees.
Good,
because that's not where I'm playing from today.
No. That's a nice thing. That's another nice thing about Park Meadows is there's a tee for everybody.
Mm.
So, you know, one of the big initiatives in PGA and
play it forward.
USGA these days is grow the game and play it forward. So more and more members are enjoying themselves playing, you know, a tee up versus what they played maybe in the last 10 years, 5 to 10 years. They're just seeing better scores and just enjoying the game better. And you know, as I alluded to earlier, Park Meadows is not a golf course that is going to beat you up. And if you put yourself on the proper tee, like I said, hole 12 is a fantastic hole. 11, 12, and 13 is the best stretch of holes that I've ever played. You got a unique par four with the split fairway in 11.
Yeah, I wanted to ask. I was looking at the flyover videos, and you have a video on there talking about specifically about that hole.
Yeah.
And I wanted to
hole number 11. Hole number 11 is a split fairway. You can challenge the right side with the driver, but that brings some out of bounds into play. Or you can hit a fairway wood or hybrid down the left side, and it's 20, 30 wide yard fairway, plenty of space to drive it and play. And you know, for whatever player, handicap level you are, And then you get to hole 12, which is downhill par 3. That has a kind of a tricky green. And again, you're in an exposed area with some wind generally. So picking a club there can be very difficult.
What do you advise?
Whatever the tee you're playing, let's suppose you're playing the 160-yard tee. I take 10 yards off of that because it's downhill.
Okay.
And then depending on the wind, if it's down, I take a little less club. If the wind's into me, I'll generally just offset that wind with the elevation.
Okay.
So that's how I pick a club. But again, a lot of times it's kind of a hit and hope type of thing because you don't know what the ball is going to do in the wind and coming down that hill. And then there's 13, par 4, very links-style hole. Native high grass on both sides with some unique bunkering and a great, kidney-shaped green left to right, not a very deep green that's perched up a little bit and well-bunkered. One of the best holes on the golf course by far.
That's your favorite par 4?
13 is definitely my favorite par 4.
There are a lot of chances to lose balls here? I mean, people, when they come
really
out...
have to hit it offline to lose a ball here. We do have a few water holes that can eat up a ball fairly easy, two or three water holes. But overall, you'd really have to hit it offline to lose a ball. Depending on the time of the year, early in the summer, just after those rains in June and July, the native grass to the sides of the rough and fairway were very lush and thick. And if you did hit it, way offline, you could get in there and have a hard time finding a ball. But generally, it's pretty hard to lose a ball here.
Good. Yeah. I didn't bring that many because I lost a couple already.
You're only going to need one.
Hopefully. I'll have another one in my pocket always. I actually have asked about that. I had a teacher once tell me about, I said, I always keep, two balls with me, one in my pocket and the one I'm playing. And he goes, oh, no, I tell my students never do that. Always have just one ball. Why give yourself the option that you're going to lose the ball?
I agree with that. Stick with the one. You don't want to have that mentality that you're, what if I lose this? What if? You want to be thinking, I'm not losing this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Positive thinking. Tell me about your favorite par 5.
Favorite par 5, definitely I would say is hole 17. It's coming towards the end of the round, obviously. It's fairly reachable, very reachable par 5, especially for the longer hitters, to afford you the ability to hit an iron into that green. But again, there's some water and there's some very unique bunkering that starts about 60 yards from the green that should you miss a shot, you'll definitely be penalized. However, if you do hit two good shots, you should be walking away with a birdie, no question.
But a risk reward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And playing it safe, trying to, lay
up. Yeah, it's a very fair fairway. Yeah, it's a very wide fairway, one of the biggest fairways at the club to hit. It's a nice way to kind of get some momentum coming into 18, which is a long, tough par 4, to maybe sneak in one last birdie before you finish the round.
Long par 4 on 18. Good finishing hole?
Yeah, good. Yeah. Very good finishing hole. Long, tough, big green, and there's some out of bounds on both sides of the fairway. So,
of the holes that you've talked about so far, you got 11, 12, 13, 4, 7, 18. The one that they talk about on the website that was voted as one of the best holes in a reader's poll is number 15.
15, yes. I missed 15, but that
I'll bring it up.
That hole, I happen to like it. I think a lot of the longer hitters or the lower handicap players have a different perspective of that hole. But for the higher handicappers, which is most of our membership here,
okay,
there's a creek that runs throughout the entire hole, out of bounds left, out of bounds right. So there's kind of danger around every corner, and just when you think you've hit two good shots down to get to the green, now you have to hit over the water to a very small green. And depending on where the pin is, it can be one of the toughest shots that Park Meadows throws at you. So it's kind of from start to finish, it has water, it has out of bounds all the way. And you add a little wind to that, it can be very difficult. But, for the longer hitters, they can reach that green in two and maybe make a birdie, possibly an eagle.
Are most of the greens here you want to just fire at the center of the green and get it on there, or do you advise there are some holes that just like go after the pin? Obviously, the placement's going to be critical.
Yeah, I think overall center, if you can get the ball in the middle of the green here, you can shoot a good score here. It gives you a good chance no matter where the pin is to at least make a two putt. Again, depending on what kind of club you're hitting into the green, I would let that dictate your aggressiveness. If you're able to get a wedge, a 9-iron, 8-iron, it is the kind of golf course that you can go green light at the pin. But if you're hitting your high, you know, if you're not hitting your driver well and you're hitting longer clubs into the green, again, I'd be running it up to try to get it on, just get it on the green or the middle of the green for sure.
Awesome. All right, we're gonna wrap this up fairly quickly, and then I'm gonna just make some announcements and get a tip from you. We'll go outside and shoot a little video as well.
Sounds
great.
Got
a tip. But I would like to get from you, if you can remember this, if you can think back, not as an instructor, but as a golfer, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received about being a golfer, or maybe from another teacher?
I think the best piece of advice I've got regarding the game of golf was from a former pro that I worked for in Arizona, and that's to not take the game too seriously and to enjoy it and have fun. And I will never forget, he told me that, you know, when you're playing golf, you got to care, but just not too much. And that stuck with me from the moment I heard that, because, you know, you think about it, everybody wants to play good and everybody wants to hit good shots, but if you let that overwhelm you with your 4 hours on the golf course, it can be rather draining, and you lose the idea of camaraderie and who you're playing with and the scenery and what the game's all about is getting outdoors and enjoying, you know, and just enjoying yourself and
awesome.
Letting go.
Yeah. One of the instructors that we've had on frequently, a guy named Jim Waldron out of Oregon and Hawaii, he said the key to putting, the two keys to putting are confidence and positive indifference.
I like it.
It kind of falls into don't take it too seriously. Positive indifference. It's like, what? Think about it for a minute, and it makes total sense.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Love it. All right, now tell me the best advice you've ever received as an instructor.
Best advice that I've ever received as an instructor?
Or if it's too tough, let's make it the best piece of advice as an instructor that you like to give. For this golf
course.
Man,
it kind of falls back into what I just alluded to there, is that I try to keep my teaching simple, as far as mechanics and the basics of the game, and not get too technical. And again, try to, you know, because a lot of these people that want to take lessons, they have this hardcore desire to hone the skill and perfect it. And that can be very taxing on your enjoyment of the game. You know, you still have to be able to walk away from the lesson tee. So I try to keep it simple and tell my students to have fun with it, to when they finish a lesson, to do some work and to work on it. But go out in the evenings and the mornings and just, you know, play your golf and enjoy it. You know, the best advice I could give is enjoy the people you're around and just have fun doing it.
Now we're going to take Bobby outside to the putting green and get a tip from him on how to keep your putting stroke consistent to get better distance control. As I said earlier, this tip will also be on Golf Smarter TV as a video. In our next email, I'll send you a link to the video. But when you get a chance, make sure you subscribe to youtube.com/golfsmartertv and check out nearly 100 videos that have tips, tech, travel, reviews, and as always, just plain silliness from me. And if you're not on our email list, please write to me, fred@golfsmarterpodcast.com, and you will be included. But before you do that, this has happened a couple times now, make sure that you're not already getting the email updates, but they've been filtered out as spam. Check your spam filter to make sure that you've not received Golf Smarter emails. All right, now let's go out to the practice putting green with Bobby Trunzo, head golf professional of Park Meadows Country Club, and get a tip on how to better control our lag putting distance.
Obviously, having a good line and making it in the hole is important, but if your speed is off, you'll never have a chance. The key to maintaining good speed on the putting green is having a backswing that's the same length as the follow-through. We don't want to get a stroke that has a backswing this far and a follow-through here, or vice versa, a short backswing and a big follow-through. That leads to really inconsistent speed on the green. Reason being is if you have a backswing that's too long and a follow-through that's too long, or vice versa, your speed will never be consistent, and you'll find yourself three or four putting most of the time. I'll hit one here as a demonstration. Again, the key to good lag putting or speed putting, especially when you're outside 10, 12 feet, you're just trying to get the ball close. And the key to speed is maintaining a pendulum-type stroke that has the same amount of backswing as follow-through.